Hi.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me? What is my hair doing?
All good things.
Okay. Yeah. I guess I can change my name so we're all on the same name.
I mean, we're basically twins, so.
I feel like you need a light right there because your face is in the shadow because you're like backlit.
I do need a light. It's not bright enough over here.
Yeah, it's like some little thing that you could put right there.
Yeah, on this other side.
Although, on the plus side, maybe, people not being able to see your expression.
Hello, Ryan.
How's it going?
Ryan.
Hello.
What's popping in Davis this week, Ryan?
Not much. We kind of play catch up. We don't have commission meetings this week.
Well, that's nice.
So, just trying to clean up a lot of loose odds and ends.
Yeah.
How are you holding up?
Good. Yeah, we our board goes dark in August, so we have a little bit of a moment to catch our breath too, and or at least focus on other things. But yeah. Can't complain. Well, I could, but I'm not gonna. But this meeting's being recorded.
Got
Okay. I just told the interns to use their inside voices so that they don't show up in the audio again. Heather, there's Teams. There's a Teams in the calendar invite. Yikes. Stupid Teams. Do you want to go over there or shall I? You're on mute.
I am over here.
Oh God. Are you actually logging in there or shall I?
No, I'm in here.
Yeah, I mean, you're both?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me.
Hey Stephanie, hey Daisy.
Hello.
Hello. Sorry about the Teams Zoom thing. Microsoft, the fact that they just do that, I mean, do they really think they're making any friends? when they auto-populate teams in your calendar invite. Drives me crazy. Hi, Brent. Hi, Alex. Apologies for the confusion on the whole Teams Zoom thing.
Hello.
Hi. Heather's, I think, in there trying to make sure everybody comes over to the over to Zoom, so we'll just give it another minute.
I'm good. The meeting actually on Zoom.
All right. Hi, Vin. Welcome. Sorry.
Oh, no, I'm completely confused. I have a WebEx meeting with the Army Corps engineers. So, there's so many formats.
I think that we must have fallen victim to the old Teams auto, Outlook calendar auto-populating this as a Teams meeting. So sorry about that, everybody. It seems like a few people are still just joining. I think we can get started here in just a minute. Hi, Manpreet. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go ahead and get started. I know we want to use everybody's time well, so we'll do I am hereby calling this meeting to order. And let's do a quick roll call, Heather.
City of Davis?
Present.
City of West Sacramento?
Present.
City of Winter? City of Woodland?
Here.
Yolo Solano Air Quality Management District? Yolo County?
Present.
Caltrans?
Present.
And Unitrans?
All right. Sounds like we have a quorum. So we'll go ahead and jump in. Doesn't look like we have any members of the public. So we can bypass that. And we'll go straight into our updates and reports. I'll do a quick executive director's report, and then we'll hear from everybody. And because this meeting is going to be a lot of updates from the various folks on our team, so I won't spend a lot of time on my ED update. I just want to share a couple things. Just a reminder that this is a Brown Act meeting, and I know it's kind of hasn't always been as formal as it has in the past. We are, because of this high-profile project that we've been doing, of course, with I-80, we've been just getting a bit more scrutiny around making sure all of our procedures are, in terms of Brown Act and Public Records Act and whatnot. So we're just making sure to remind everybody that this meeting is being recorded. We are posting agendas and noticing them, et cetera. Let's see. I want to take a quick moment to introduce some of the members of our team, some of whom have been with us a while, but we do have a couple new people, and also we've done some internal restructuring. So as part of the 2023-24 budget process, the board did approve an internal restructuring of our management team. So we now have a 4-person executive management team as opposed to a 3-person executive management team, which we've had in the past. And so Daisy Romero, who is here, is our she is our acting director of transit operations, and Brian Avenat, who's here, who you all also know, is our acting director of planning. So we previously had a deputy director of planning and operations. We have now split that into 2 positions, and then the 3rd member of our team is unchanged. That's our director of finance. Leo Levinson has been filling that role on an interim basis for the last 18 months. And we have been in the process of doing a recruitment for a permanent replacement. We did just make that hire a couple of days ago. So we're very excited. Our new director of finance is going to be joining us August 21st is her first day. So we'll share more information on that to come, but I just wanted to make sure you had the opportunity to just kind of share that. So Brian is your go-to guy for anything that's kind of planning related, and Daisy is a go-to person for anything on kind of transit operations related. And then I also wanted to introduce Courtney Williams to the team. Courtney Williams is our senior transportation planner focused on transit. And I believe this is his first TAC meeting. Is that right, Courtney?
Yeah, it is.
So Courtney's actually rejoining us. He was an intern, actually, many years ago with YTD, and we're happy to have him back. And you're going to be hearing more from him today on some of the various things that we have going. So anyway, I just wanted to share those updates. And then one other thing, the last time that we met, we talked a lot about TDA and the budget process. And so I wanted to share two things. One, we have worked to schedule a conversation with the city managers and the county administrator to talk about TDA. So that meeting is on the calendar. It's coming up in a couple weeks. And then also we are working on revisions to our 5-year financial forecast that was part of the budget to reflect the basically the state budget deal compromise that resulted in the infusion of transit funding for the next 5 years. So we're working on trying to get the details that just happened, right? The budget compromise. And so there's still a lot of specifics to be worked out, but we're working on getting some estimates to help you all understand how that affects the picture going forward in terms of TDA. So stay tuned for more details on that. That's my update. I'm happy to answer any questions on that. And then if there's no questions on that, any of that, then we'll go ahead and go around the table and hear updates from other folks on the committee. Would anybody like to jump in?
Let me start by just saying welcome and congratulations to those who have been promoted. If we haven't met before, welcome from me.
Thanks, Ben. City of Davis, Westac, Woodland, any updates that you all want to share?
I can get started, I guess. For City of Westac, an update, we will be releasing a RFI for our flexible microtransit program, and hopefully this week or next week, I think I've mentioned this before, but contract with our current provider, we originally approved a five-year contract with annual renewals, and that this year is ending in 2024, so we're just preparing for the next 5 years of service. Otherwise, can I ask, like, what type of information should we provide to update?
That's a great question, and I know there's been some turnover in this group in the last year, and I was just thinking that, Stephanie, so appreciate that. I mean, I think this is really meant to be a forum for kind of anything that's going on that's kind of transit-related or, upcoming, if there's upcoming funding opportunities that, folks want to coordinate on, for example, like who all is planning to apply for such and such, I think those are the sorts of things that we want to flag. So anything that's on your plate that you want this group to be aware of or that you'd like feedback, or to hear from others about. And I, in fact, the RFI was one of the things I was going to ask you about if you didn't bring it up. So thank you for bringing it up.
Another note, in terms of micro mobility, BERT entered our Sacramento region market with 50 e-bikes. So now there's 50 e-bikes, at least in Sacramento so far. We still have to process the an amendment with them to operate in West Sacramento, but I think that that should go through smoothly. I'm sure that there are some users who are already bringing the bikes over the bridge, but we didn't realize that Sacramento had approved a permit allowing them to introduce e-bikes to their city. So we're just playing catch up a little bit on that end. And then another, in terms of like funding opportunities coming out, and the city is looking for potentially applying for the federal, the USDOT released Reconnecting Communities. So we're looking at two potential projects to apply for that grant opportunity. We have a we applied last year for something, a trail called Sycamore Trail. It's supposed to run north-south across our city and really provide the only, like, off-street, off, like, non-motorized, like, opportunity for people to get across our city without interacting with vehicles. If you hadn't been in West Sac, our city's very divided. So we have like rail lines in the north. We have our freeway, and then we also have the deep watershed channel. Currently we're on phases 2 and 3 of the project. So we already broke ground on going over the US 50 Business Loop 80. And then we have some funding to bring that trail down to near where the deep watershed channel is. So last year we applied for some feasibility funding for feasibility studies looking at connecting the North End Trail, kind of pushing through those two rail lines. So we have UP and Sierra Northern at the north end of our city, and then letting that connect to Sac Ave, which is our kind of main north, east-west arterial in our north section of the city. And then a feasibility study also in the south section, crossing over the deep watershed channel. Unfortunately, we didn't receive funding last year, but our debrief with the DOT did indicate there was general like support and interest in pursuing the project. So we want to reapply for that opportunity this year with the feedback that we received on the application. And then another project we're looking at is looking at US 50 Business 80 at the Jefferson Interchange. So Caltrans completed a PSR back in 2008 at this interchange, and one of the alternatives looked at making an at-grade intersection so that Power Bridge would be at-grade with Jefferson. And then there were several other alternatives, but like the other alternative that we're looking at is just to maintain the existing infrastructure there and kind of upgrade it, widen it as needed. But the PSR recommended those two alternatives to move forward with the PAED and next phases. We are looking at partnering with Caltrans as the project does include their right-of-way. From my understanding, the city, Caltrans relinquished 275 up to Jefferson Boulevard to the city, so the portion west of Jefferson is Caltrans. To apply for Reconnecting Communities, we need Caltrans as a partner, at least for the PAED phase. So we're in conversation with Caltrans on whether they're interested in partnership to proceed.
Awesome. Thanks for that update, Stephanie. Yeah, go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, so I got a couple of things. The first one is we are working with UC Davis on an agreement with SPIN to get a microtransit solution or micromobility solution for Davis. We are hoping to get everything out of contract inked and get this out and deployed in advance of student movement at the university. The second one is we are going to be starting work on a design for a Arlington at Russell roundabout, which will involve a stakeholders group that will include a number of people on this call. So I'll be reaching out to you as we get ready to put that together. And then finally, we're working on a short-range transit plan with Unitrans. And we'll be getting an RFP ready to go out on the street for that, hopefully in the next 2 to 3 months.
Thanks, Ryan. That's very interesting. We're scoping a SRTP update ourselves right now. I wonder if that's something that we should be talking about doing some coordination on.
Definitely something that we should talk about and see if there's any opportunities to work together on it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's really interesting. Thank you. I'm glad you said it. See how valuable this is what these seconds are meant to be about.
Hey, Ryan, do you mind elaborating? You said micromobility with in cooperation with UC Davis. Is that going to change? Is that being run by Davis or Unitrans? And Unitrans?
It would be a bike and scooter share program. It's not a – sorry, I misspoke. It's a bike share program or a micro mobility. Yeah. It's
okay.
Not, yeah, it's not a Uber-style service where we're trying to do non-fixed route bus service.
Got it.
We are looking at micromobility as one of the items we want to explore in the short-range transit plan. So that will be something that's going to be coming up in the near future.
Okay, I'll go ahead and share. So this is Brent with the City of Woodland. We're hopefully in the next month, 2 months, we'll have approval on our next specific plan, which called Woodland Regional Research and Technology Park. Kind of the west of Spring Lake, between the existing Spring Lake and 113. Part of that project will, number one, build a pedestrian overcrossing that connects basically the north side of that and also Spring Lake to most of the rest of the community on the west side of 113. And then a number of other transportation improvements. We'll be making improvements to the 25A 113 interchange. That project will probably happen in 5 to 7 years. And then there's various funding related to CMT to fund. We haven't gone through the details. We'll need to do a study with a consultant, but we're envisioning some kind of shuttle between Woodland and UC Davis and possibly Davis, and then other, you know, features to reduce vehicle miles traveled. So that's it for me.
Hey, Brent, just a quick question on that. The pedestrian overcrossing that you mentioned as part of the Tech Park specific plan, is that different than the one that's nearly complete over 113?
No, sorry, that's the same one.
Oh, okay, got it. Yeah, I can't wait for that to open. I keep going past it on my bike and being like, any day now? What's the timeline?
It's hopefully the next month. The contractor had some issues with installing the drain, and we had a pretty wet winter, and so they have some wet soil issues, wet subgrade issues they've got to figure out and install the drain. So, it's been done for months, and it kind of looks funny that it's been done but can't be opened. So, anyways, hopefully in the next month we'll have something figured out with the contractor. But as you guys all know, the schedule is theirs, not necessarily ours. So, anyways, that's that.
Great. Let us know if there's like a ribbon cutting or something. That'll be it's going to be a great amenity. Really excited for it. Okay. Jen, anything you want
to say?
Yeah,
Brent left out some information. Brent? Woodland and the county collaborated and supported each other on the Safe Streets for All comprehensive safety action plans that we both buy for. I think that's an important component of this pact, when we support each other in terms of, when we apply for grants. I've always enjoyed working with Katie Moselle, and Brent knows that, right? So just on the grant side, we were successful in getting a $4.1 million grant from CalSTA for County Road 32A, crossing grade separation project, which is that frontage road parallel to I-80. We're looking forward to getting that project off the ground. I'm a little nervous because I think the delivery timeline is 2026. That's not a lot of time on a project like that. And that's going to be a $45, $50 million project. So that, hopefully that should get us through environmental and design and position us for, you know, for construction funding and other potential grants that we're going to go after. And then, the County Road 98 project, we have not been successful recently in terms of, trying to get funding to build those three roundabouts and the rest of that connection to, to Davis and their research park area. I'm actually thinking about re-scoping that project and perhaps breaking into a couple of phases, and maybe we'll do a, roundabout as a pilot, possibly, and if we reduce the scale of the ask, perhaps we can be more competitive in different grants. Of course, we'll need to collaborate with UC Davis, to get that done. So that's what we're looking at. I'm kind of going back and looking at County Road 98 and County Road 31 projects, see if there's potential for us to rescope that, perhaps even, pull in some of the APP components like the bike trails. And I'm really looking forward to Yellow TD and when you're able to get your APC project rolling. We are heavily dependent on that. I know our county supervisor, our chair, in fact, asked about that, and I'm thankful you're doing that, and you guys got a raise grant to work on that. Otherwise, we would have to look at, starting our own, updating our bike ped trails master plan, which we don't have right now. We just have an old, really obsolete bicycle plan. I wouldn't even call it a master plan, but, it's good for what it is. It was done at the staff level. But we definitely are looking forward to that project. Just a couple of items that may have, consequences. Over River Road, we're coordinating with Army Corps engineers and DWR. They are widening the weir over there by the Sacramento bypass. So they will be building a detour, temporary detour road to go around the area that we're working on. So there will be a stop, implemented just to the north of the Sacramento Weir. Some of you may already know that is a high. Recently, we had some fatalities and major injuries, collisions along that corridor. We are in fact making some operational changes. I'm not sure if transit uses that route. Probably not. It is not an easy route. Especially come Friday afternoon when I-5 is backed up. We have a lot of unintended, truck traffic. And it is challenging. We are making some operational changes around the Elkhorn Regional Park. So we actually are putting in, we're trying to make the access a little bit easier into the park and trying to slow down traffic and make it a little bit safer. So internally, we're making some signage and striping changes. But ultimately, hopefully we're successful in getting this, safe streets for all grant, and we can implement a countywide, systemic approach, and address some of these, high collision corridors within the county. I think other than that, I did attend the July 11th groundbreaking event for the Caltrans I-5 Auxiliary Lane Project, with Caltrans Director and I think Tony Tavares and Amarjeet was there along with many of his deputies. I think that is a project that's going to impact the county, so at least they invited me. We already have issues backing up I-5. It's at the county line. The event was held at the rest stop just on the Sac County side. But thank you for thinking of us. Yes, the project is on the Sacramento County side, but guess where when vehicles start backing up? on our side of the river. So that's something to keep an eye on. And I spoke with the project manager, Jeff Avila. I said, you know, please coordinate with the PIO. Keep us in the loop because you are affecting, you know, circulation through Yellow County as it progresses. And likewise, I know Caltrans is also working on your Yellow 80 rehab project, too. So that's going to have consequences. And Westac has that POC under construction. So I don't, well, what is it? Carmageddon in the Sacramento region, Stephanie? I don't know. No matter which direction you look, there's some kind of state project going on here. But that's it from Yellow County.
Thanks, Ben. That was great. Yes, agree. It's crazy out there right now. It sure is. Must be just kind of deferred stuff from the pandemic and labor shortages and whatnot. It seems like we're all playing catch up right now. So I know everybody's going to be happy when a lot of these projects are done. Manfred or Alex, you guys want to share anything from District 3?
I don't have anything at this moment. Thank you.
Yeah, nothing for me. Thanks, Anna.
Okay.
Can I ask, would you happen to know the start date for that 80 rehab project? I know we talked about it a little bit the other week in a separate meeting with Caltrans, but I think looking at the website and then also speaking with one of the engineers on that project, there's been some delays, so I was just wondering if either of you knew when that would start.
I don't have a problem with it. We can look into that and get back to you on that stuff.
From my understanding, it's already started. Mm-hmm. It's a multi-year project, which is why you already had some collisions, right, a couple of weekends ago. So that combined with Stephanie and your Sycamore project, when they start having to put up false work and divert traffic around that, that's going to be, I think that's being coordinated, right? With Caltrans?
Stephanie, were you talking about the causeway construction that's happening, or are you talking about the Old River Road construction?
Because I know, like, part of that rehab project is doing, like, the concrete on the 80 on-ramps at Jefferson.
Okay.
I think you're talking about the Causeway project, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure which name it's under.
I think that's the shop funded pavement rehabilitation.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. I know it's the shop fund.
Yeah. So many projects. Sounds like Alex has volunteered to go track down something that did latest update on that and share it. So
I've got a little bit of information on that one. There are contractors on site. They are working on it. Most of the work's been on the west side of the job, so closer to Davis than West Sac. But they're out there, they are working. I don't know what the schedule is beyond that.
I think they started last week, and to my understanding, they were just using the emergency lanes. And then I drove there on Sunday. It looked like they were just impacting the emergency lanes, but not specifically the capture priority lanes, which is the time when I have not heard anything from our contractor that, as far as like delays because of construction. But you know, we have been paying pretty close attention to, you know, make sure that if they do start to move into the actual traffic lanes, to monitor all that traffic. But they did start on that stuff, and I believe they started last week.
Okay. If Alex, you could reach out or let me know when it will get around to the west side, that would just be helpful.
Quick question for Vin regarding the Old River Road project. Just out of curiosity, because that's actually my commute like every single day. Do you know if you guys, specifically the county, have control over who gets to use that road? Because I've seen some pretty heavy trailers use it as an alternative. And, I mean, it creates a lot of frustration for those drivers that get really, really impatient, and then they start to basically illegally pass up these vehicles, which I've seen a couple of near misses. And So I'm just kind of curious, like, if you guys have, like, actually any control over, like, who can actually be using that road, if you guys can limit, like, you know, the trucks, or actually maybe even putting, and I can never pronounce the word, but those, like, plastic, like, poles in between the roads where the striping where technically they're not supposed to pass those vehicles. Because a lot of people, what they end up doing is they kind of see this long stretch of road where they're not allowed to pass, but they do it anyways. So maybe one way we can keep people from doing that is actually putting, like, those plastic, like, poles that they basically just glue into the ground so that they don't, like, cross over. But just curiosity.
Yeah, I'll give you a update on the whole corridor. You know, I'm trying to take a systemic approach. That's one of the things that, you know, I've asked for since I joined the county is basically I pull all the as-built along the 10-mile stretch between Woodland and West Sacramento. Come to find out that, you know, different segments were done at different times by different engineers and there's no consistency. So, yes, we are looking to do some long-term improvements. Some of the challenges we have, we know that on the West Sacramento end within city limits, and we'll have to coordinate closely with West Sac and Stephanie, is that I think West Sac in its community code prohibits trucks. Unfortunately, a county does not have a regulatory mechanism to prohibit trucks that exit at the I-5 interchange or go across from Woodland. I think within the Woodland city limits, your truck route ends at the county line, at your city limits. But a lot of trucks still go through. Unfortunately, West Sac, I mean, I'll bet you if you just look at the names of the trucks, you know, West Sac has, you know, SDs and Yellow, and it's usually like three trucking firms that are based out of West Sacramento. They continually use that corridor, especially when I-5 backs up, right? So I've even looked at the structural elements, you know, like the levee and the Sacramento Weir. We're looking at DWR to perhaps, is there some weight limits where we can prohibit trucks from using that route? And they say, no, structurally you can handle it. So you can't. but on the West Sac side, you can, because I think that's in your Unico. And we will be putting up signs to encourage the trucks to use I-5 and not use Old River Road. Hopefully, in the long run, I hope to be able to, you know, revamp the corridor, perhaps even, you know, repost the speed limit to 45 or something. Because there are a lot of hazards that are not apparent to drivers along that route. You almost want to think of that, especially the levee road, as a tunnel with limited access. Mm-hmm. There's no turnarounds and no safe areas to pull off. But unfortunately, so many people use that as a commute corridor for decades, and you know, they just speed, and it's actually being enforced. We rely on the state, on CHP, to provide enforcement, and of course, that's very limited, right, with CHP and them, you know, primarily patrolling the freeways. So that's where we are. And I've been engaged by, you know, some of our supervisors and their staff to try to come up with some solutions to, you know, make things a little bit better. We are working on it. We're going to be making some operational changes. You've probably seen a lot of signs being replaced already. And then with the construction near the West Sacramento side, Stephanie, this is for you. I've actually asked the Corps to look upstream, you know, like 4 miles in both directions of their project. They may even want to put up some CMS signs over at Harbor and Reed to deter the trucks from going through there. Because when their construction is underway, you know, they're going to be putting in a stop. And I don't want, you know, the semis to be running into vehicles that are backed up. So I think the Corps will be contacting the city. I'm sending them in your direction. And then we may need to collaborate as we, I'm certainly open to, you know, providing signs to the city of West Sacramento to install on within your city limits. because it costs the city limits is right, you know, on the other side of the weir. So I think a lot of the signs are best installed on the city side. You know, like I would like them to turn on their headlights, you know, make them aware that this is a winding levee road. There's farm equipment present. You know, we're going to put up farm equipment share the road sign. But again, I prefer voluntary compliance. But again, it's limited on what we can do. But we're definitely looking at aggressively implementing countermeasures. And to answer your question, Daisy, we are looking at that. You know, if we can get our comprehensive safety action plan completed, hopefully we can have a bunch of conceptual concepts and countermeasures identified. We can go after 8 SIP funds, and we can, you know, make progress as far as making a lot of our, you know, high collision corridors safer. So that's my long-term plan.
Thank you, Bennett. Yeah, thank you. I feel like this is a really great kind of dialogue that we're having, and I don't know the extent to which, you know, there's other forums where this kind of conversation is happening. So, I want to appreciate this, and it seems I feel like I'm learning a lot, and hopefully everybody else is too. And also, you know, we have a few things we want to get to in the agenda, so. Want to see if there's anything else out there in terms of updates or questions or, you know, issues to flag for each other. If not, we'll dive into sharing some updates on some of the projects we've got going. Anything else out there before we move on? Okay. If not, then Heather, do you want to go ahead and share the PowerPoint and we will dive in, So we have kind of three agenda items kind of beyond what we've just done, which is to talk about what's going on with our microtransit, and then we'll talk about our fixed route transit service, some of the initiatives underway, and then planning and capital project updates. So but we'll start with microtransit, and I will hand it over to Courtney for that.
Yeah, so hello for those of you who haven't met yet. My name is Courtney Williams. I'm helping lead on the implementation for our new microtransit service, or I should say rebranded. So for this presentation, I'll just give you an overview of kind of the rebrand for our what was called Your Ride microtransit service, some updated policies that we're implementing, new software that we're using, and then some additional service area that we're adding along with increased hours. So you can go to the next slide, Heather. So just kind of a background, for those of you that aren't aware, like we do operate a microtransit service. In 2021, the OTD approved our comprehensive operational analysis, which at that time recommended to use Your Ride to supplement some of the fixed route service that we were providing for Woodland. And then in addition, removing the fixed routes for night planning and winters and replacing them with microtransit. At May 2023, our board approved some of the rebranding for our Your Ride to be called Beeline. And with that also came the approval of some policy changes, branding, and then also, which I'll get to in the next slides, and then the use of our new software platform, which will be RideCo. Next slide. So this here is just kind of a glimpse of what the new vehicles will look like. This is a mock-up. Currently, we have one that has already been wrapped, and then we're still working through the process to have the remaining vehicles wrapped by middle to end of August. Some of the policy updates include adding service animals being allowed on our microtransit service, increasing service hours, which is really more tied to Woodland, which will be our new service area that we're adding. This will launch in probably middle of September, pending once we have enough drivers and just all of the vehicles wrapped and finalized. On the right side, you'll see a picture that just shows the updates for the new fare structure that also are in effect. So at the top, Woodland fares for a regular cost are $3, and then for youth and senior or disabled, they're $1.50. And then for nights landing and winters, the fares are a little bit cheaper just as a way of kind of supplementing the fact that this is their only service they currently have. They don't have fixed route. Go to the next slide. So the new software platform that we'll be using is called RideCo. This is part of what is nice about having some technology. So riders will be able to use their smartphone app to book rides on their phone. And it'll also provide them with real-time updates as well as to when the vehicle is en route and provide them text messages to when the vehicle will pick them up. And we'll go to the next slide. And so here are some of the maps for the just what we're planning to roll out once the Beeline is live in September. So Knights Landing and the Winners we were already providing service to, along with stops for Davis and Vacaville to mimic what was our 220 Winners service. But Woodland is the additional service area that we've added and kind of added some just colorful points of interest. Now, a rider within Woodland can ride anywhere along with Knights Landing or Winners within their service area. It's not just designated at the points. These are just kind of references for points of interest that users are familiar with within their service area. And then next slide. Okay. I think that's it for Beeline for me.
Any questions for Courtney on that? Any of that?
I do have a question. Any thoughts on expansion to include a farm?
At this time, we're currently in talks with one of the Yolo County supervisors for the town of Yolo. But I do think down the road we could have kind of a rural, we'll kind of be able to provide access to all of our rural cities as well. But in the meantime, I think once we go live with Beeline in September, following that, probably in towards the middle end of fall, would be the town of Yolo. But Esparto could be in play as well.
So I want to jump in on this. We have, we are in conversation. It was Supervisor Barajas' office who reached out about the town of Yolo, and that is not very far out of the way between Knights Landing and Woodland. So it's, I think it's like 2.5 miles or something, diversion from the route we take. So that's kind of something that we can accommodate without any fiscal impacts, really. I mean, it would be a question of, you know, we're still scoping that, but it would be a question. It may have a negative impact to our Knights Landing riders that their trip maybe takes a little bit longer, but we could accommodate it with our existing drivers and vehicles, basically at no additional cost. Supervisor Barajas' office also asked about Dunnigan, those communities further north on the I-5 corridor. That's when we start talking about kind of areas like that are further afield, that would require, you know, new drivers, new vehicles, additional resources. And so it kind of leads back to the whole TDA question, right? That there are TDA funds that are available for additional transit service, but then, you know, then those funds are currently being used for other things, right? So that's the challenge that we get into, there. So it's something that we definitely said we're interested in exploring, and we're happy to explore it, particularly given that Supervisor Barajas has asked us to do so. But there is, that financial impact that would have to be considered, you know, prior to doing anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an excellent question, Vin. And I'll jump in a little bit more on, like, the fixed route service. So currently, right now, we do have our Cache Creek route that goes from Woodland all the way through. It serves the communities of Madison and Capay, Madison is part of it, Capay. And it does have pretty frequent service. It actually used to have a lot more service before the casino kind of made some changes to the routes. But it does have pretty early morning service and then pretty late service. And I know a lot of the community members that are in Esparto were using it to get to and from Woodland. So it could just be something of possibly adding a little bit more service to the Cache Creek route versus like microtransit, because I don't anticipate there being a lot of demand for microtransit in the Esparto area, but again, not something that's completely off the table for sure.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions about microtransit? Okay. If not, we'll keep moving. We'll hand it over to Daisy to talk about fixed route.
Yeah, so jumping into fixed route services, so we're going to be talking a little bit about two different programs. So the first is going to be our free rides program. So With this, at the June board meeting, the July board meeting, our board approved the extension of our youth rec free program all the way through June of 2025. So, looking forward to definitely continuing that. I know we've gotten a lot of reception from our Yellow Bus Riders for that program. So it's great that our board members were in support of extending that. With conjunction with all of that, because we got funding from some LCTOP grants, we're able to participate in Spare the Air this year. We've had a couple of Spare the Air days, so we were definitely excited about that. And then we recently got requests from the Yolo County OES office to essentially transport individuals to cooling centers within the county. With all of that, we're able to provide free rides on fixed route services to cooling centers, or just essentially have people riding the bus as like a mobile like cooling center. So for the individuals who don't want to go to the cooling centers, well, now they can use the bus actually as a cooling center. So that's for our free ride program. Jumping over to the next slide, Heather. Next slide, Heather, please. All right, perfect. Bus stop inventory project. So this project is essentially looking at all of our bus stops and amenities for our entire service. The last time we did a project like this was back in 2017, and we've had several changes, you know, with COVID coming about, making some service changes to our 42, the elimination of a couple of our local services, and just rearranging a few of our services as well. With all of that, we've had changes in which stops we're actually serving. So we're essentially kind of going through and revising all of this work and kind of seeing, like, okay, what is the condition of what our bus stops? You know, do we need to install new signs? Like, do the wording on the signs need to be updated? Because, you know, being out in elements, the sun really does take a huge toll on our signage. Things start to become faded, really hard to read, and it just kind of creates confusion for a rider. So looking at all of that, you know, seeing which one of our stops actually has shelters, trash cans, benches, just overall looking at the evaluation of our bus stop inventory. And then also looking at the longs and the lats, because I know it seems like a lot of city staff and county staff as well have been asking for this data for their own projects as well. So this is going to be super helpful for you guys, like moving forward in the future, like if there's something that you're looking at, whether it's like a housing element or any other kind of project, this is going to be super helpful for you guys. You guys can see kind of where our service is actually located. We're roughly doing about 25 surveys a week. So we're looking at about 25 different stops a week. And so right now we just started this project this month in July, and we're up to about 100 bus stops being surveyed. So we should be wrapping this up sometime at the end of the summer. Once that's all said and done, we're essentially going to take all of this data and kind of have our goal is to use this so that we can have like an interactive map on our website. And that our users and our riders can kind of click on it and actually see, you know, hey, what does my bus stop look like? You know, what's actually there? Like, if they know that, okay, there's no amenities at that bus stop, then I need to be prepared to take, like, an umbrella or, like, water if they're standing in the elements. Or, oh, okay, cool, like, my bus stop does have, like, a bench, so I don't need to worry about all that stuff. Or, you know, if it's somebody who's, like, in a mobile device, maybe they can kind of see, like, okay, what does the terrain look like? You know, are there sidewalks? Is it dirt? Is it gravel? You know, maybe there's a different stop that's, you know, in a different location that I can use that has all the amenities that I need. So that's the goal for this project. So we're definitely looking forward to wrapping this up so that we can have all the data ready to go and current. And that's all I got for you guys. Happy to answer any questions.
Okay, I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I mentioned that we're looking at our, you know, County Road 98 project and our, you know, funding gap. I really I think one of the first things that I'm going to try to follow through as far as what you guys have been doing at Yellow TD with Autumn and your leadership is rebranding, renaming a lot of these things. I really don't think it should be called a Canada 98 project. It really should be called a UC Davis to, you know, to Woodland. It's an employment center connecting to housing. You know, with hospitals and, you know, key destinations along the way. And it needs to facilitate, you know, ag preservation and the movement of you know, farm equipment. Looking into the future, does, you know, as far as Fake Sprout, is there potential to include County Road 98? You know, so, I know it's about 3 miles from 113 to 98 in Woodland. Is there a benefit to, you know, in cost savings to Yellow TD if you do include 98 in the areas that you do serve?
I'll jump in on this one. We've actually just had a meeting this morning where we were talking about scoping for our short-range transit plan, and also as part of that conversation, looking at kind of longer range planning in terms of thinking about where land use and development changes are, you know, happening in the county, demographic shifts that we've seen as a result of COVID and as a result of, you know, high housing costs, et cetera. And thinking about the fact that, you know, increasingly Davis is a destination that where many people can't afford to live, right? So people are living in Woodland or Westpac or, you know, Solano County, et cetera. So part of that conversation focused on what was our Spring Lake Express, which was a route that used to serve from Spring Lake to the university, recognizing that a number of people affiliated with the university were living on that side of Woodland. That said, I think we're, I think we're looking at kind of wanting to get better data around, you know, where people are, where the kind of trip origins and destinations are, to kind of think about kind of over the long term, how can some of our service shift? Do we want to bring back older services like the Spring Lake Express that was discontinued during COVID? Or is there a need for services, you know, from Dixon to Davis, from West Woodland to Davis, et cetera? So I think that's an effort that, you know, we're definitely like just in the kind of scoping and talking about right now, but certainly would want to include all of you, you know, in that. But so that's kind of a... It's a long-term endeavor at this point, but certainly something that we are thinking about.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for that. We're just thinking ahead in terms of, you know, it's kind of that catch-22, the cart before the horse, you know. And I really want to rescope our County Road 98 project to be a ATP-focused project, right? Where you can provide a direct route for transit and for bicyclists, you know, along the western side between Woodland and UC Davis, and the potential for the, you know, the growth of the research area, you know, near the Solano County line. Again, this is just something we're looking, you know, again, looking into the future and. You know, it makes our you know, project more competitive in terms of going after grant funding. If there's, you know, future plans to include transit service, you know, I want to be able to, you know, say that in the application. So that's the main reason. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Okay, if not, we'll hand it over to Brian, who's going to talk about Yellow 80 and some of our other long-range planning projects.
Yeah, thanks, Autumn. If any of you have been paying attention, you are aware that, you know, there's been lots of, you know, moving pieces to the Yellow 80 managed lands project, and so I want to take this chance to just kind of bring you up to speed to, you know, what's happening with the project, sort of where we are with funding, and sort of what assumptions we're making moving forward. So there's only two slides, but I'll try to hit the highlights, and then we can answer any questions after that. So, Heather, thank you. For anybody who isn't familiar with the project, which I think everyone here is, but, you know, distilled to its most basic component is the Eagan Ames Lanes project would construct an additional 12 Mayor's Lane in each direction of Interstate 80 between Richards Boulevard and the 8050 split in West Sacramento. That was how we had envisioned the project and what both Caltrans District 3 and YOLO-TD were assuming would be our Phase 1 project. That cost was in the $200 million range, and we have about $97 million in committed funding. What's causing some anxiety amongst our project team is that the infra funding, that $86 million that we have to get that funding obligated by September of 2024, which means that the request to authorize that funding would need to be submitted in the summertime, which means that the project needs to be designed, by that time as well. So essentially a completed design project. And there isn't any flexibility, unfortunately, with the infra funding, and nor are we eligible for any other federal funding with the project. So I can't really tell because this version of PowerPoint shifted some of the formatting, but if you look closely, you can see sort of the four typical Caltrans phases, and we're actually still in the PA&ED phase, so the environmental document hasn't even been released yet, and we're assuming that's going to occur in August, but it's a really heavy lift to try to get, a toll managed lane project designed and completed and ready for obligation within the time that we have left. And there's a couple of reasons why we're also in a sticky position. So the next slide, Heather, please. So there's been some recent developments that have complicated things even further for this project. The first is a big one, which is that the $103 million request that we put in for the Trade Corridors Enhancement Program wasn't recommended for funding and ultimately not selected for funding. So we still have this, enormous funding gap compared to the project as we had originally envisioned in partnership with Caltrans District 3. As I mentioned earlier, the draft EIR has been delayed. Can't really make any assumptions about what the configuration and operational assumptions are going to be on this project until we get that resolved. And like I was mentioning earlier, because of these issues, the timing and the funding, and we don't have a backup funding plan for that $100 million deficit. There's some potential, possibilities that could fill some of that gap, but would not fill all of it. So that would still require some pretty significant, assumptions in the project scope and design of getting it to within a cost for the funding that we would actually have available to us. And so that's what, Caltrans District 3 is looking at now. What are the options for a project that we can deliver with the funding that we have? And so we're just trying to figure out how we can essentially salvage the 86, not salvage, retaining the $86 million that we have and essentially trying to lay the groundwork for, a phase two toll managed lane project, but, putting in, in phase one, all of the, underground components that would be needed so that phase two would be toll ready. I think that's the last slide on this item, but that's kind of where we are. There may be some gaps there in the story that maybe Autumn wants to fill in, but we can also just sort of go through question and answer on that as well.
I would just add a couple of things, which is that we're in regular communications with District 3 and headquarters leadership on both the funding issue, on kind of what the reduced scope project could look like, as well as the kind of the delays with the environmental document, and so it's a lot of things, But, you know, we're meeting regularly, and our, you know, board members, and Director Early from West Sacramento, Director Frerix from Yolo County, and Matt Dulcich from UC Davis are our ad hoc committee, that is participating in biweekly meetings with Caltrans leadership on this. So they are very much, very close to this right now, so that you're aware, and they're participating in those meetings every 2 weeks, you know, as their availability allows. So, happy to answer any questions. You know, we're hopeful that by the time our board reconvenes in September, you know, that we'll have some clarity, on what the reduced scope project looks like, as well as, possible funding options again to get us over the hump. And hopefully have an EIR that is ready to be released. But it's a lot of things that need to happen, in a very short timeline in order to make sure we don't jeopardize, those $86 million in federal funds. So, yeah, happy to answer questions as well.
What's the hang up with environmental? Is it VMT issues?
Yeah, it's VMT. We're one of the first projects in California to have to implement Caltrans guidance on SB 743. So we're kind of the guinea pig. I-5 is on a similar timeline. But yes, and so there's kind of, I think headquarters is still kind of getting their arms around how exactly they want to do VMT mitigation, and I think there's internal, those conversations are ongoing and very live, and we're in the middle of it, or on the sidelines watching it play out is probably a more accurate statement.
Yeah, I'm new to the county, but if I can be of assistance, you know, I'm not sure, you know, as you move forward with the project, but, you know, I try not to overtip them myself, because now we got County Road 32, and sooner or later we will be involved with the winters, and the 505 PLC. So, but, you know, if you think I can be of assistance with Caltrans and the project, I'd be happy to help out.
Appreciate that, Ben. Thank you. Other questions?
All right, let's move on to the next one. So on a more positive note, Yolo Active Transportation Corridors Project, which for those of you who aren't familiar with this project, Heather, why don't you go ahead and advance the slide. Yeah, so this is just one slide here. And so this project is actually going to launch. We were awarded raised funds way back in, I want to say, about this time in 2021. And the purpose of the project is really to, you know, plan for and design and ultimately construct a network of off-street, class one active transportation facilities throughout the county. And so we're going to go through a process. The premise of the project as well, and one of the reasons why it was funded by the RAISE program was, you know, its focus on low-income, you know, underrepresented, under-resourced communities. So that's the lens for which we're working, we're looking at this project. But ultimately, you know, we're aspiring to have a network of these facilities so that intercity travel by active transportation is actually a, you know, viable option for people. And so in spring of last year, we started to have some, you know, focus group conversations with, you know, different stakeholders in the county. We got a lot of good feedback. We wanted to do that so that we got that input before we, selected consultants and settled in on a scope of work. So we wanted to make sure that, you know, we weren't missing some, you know, really important, you know, analytical or planning aspects of the project that we should have scoped into the project. So that was, enlightening. We learned a lot from those focus groups, and then we went into our RFP process and selected Fair and Pierce last summer, and then we had to sit and wait for about a year for FHWA to establish their term sheets and, you know, go through their approvals process. I don't know why it took as long as it did, but it just did. But we've been ready since last summer. Finally got the notice to proceed from FHWA, and so we are having our internal kickoff meeting on August 7th. So this project will start picking up momentum this fall. And so I'll leave it there, and if you have any questions, please feel free to fire away. I know, Vin, you were interested in County Road 98. We will definitely be looking at, you know, potential alignments between Woodland and Davis. We don't have any preconceived notions as to what that, you know, active transportation corridor would look like. We're building up, we're building off of the 2010 study that was done, you know, between Woodland and Davis. So we're aware of those prior planning efforts and really trying to figure out, you know, who will be best served by the facility? What are the feasible alignments? What's the cost effectiveness of different, you know, options? And then hopefully through stakeholder, local agency, and community input, landing on an alignment for at least one facility between Woodland and Davis.
Right. And our supervisor, Viegas, is really interested in the, you know, Clarksburg area south of West Sacramento. So.
Yeah, we'll be working with Stephanie and her team on this as well. They were involved in the consultant selection process, but obviously it's kind of gone dormant over the last year, but we'll begin re-engaging with our local agency partners on it. All right, I guess that's it for my item. I think Courtney has another item on the short range or Woodland Transit Center relocation.
Yeah, so this is just to provide a quick update. Currently, we're looking at moving from our transit center at County Fair Mall, and I'll kind of get into the status of where we're at and kind of the reasoning. We go to the next slide. So this is just some pictures taken probably a month or so ago, but currently, like, location for our transit center in Woodland is at the County Fair Mall. Over time, a lot of the buildings have kind of been boarded up. There's been an increase of homelessness and just kind of a lack of maintaining the overall site and facility. I believe right now there's just a Walmart that's like what's left within the whole area, and some of the lighting is kind of poor as well. So we've received a lot of complaints from customers just not feeling safe at times, especially at night when they're riding our service. Next slide. And so within that, the scope that we have for kind of going through the process of evaluating another site for our transit center is we've hired a consultant, Kimley-Horn specifically, and the key change within this scope for our transit center is we're looking for something on street. Currently, the County Fair Mall is off street, so the buses pull in to make their transfers and drop-offs for the passengers. Currently, right now, so the goal within that scope is to identify three locations while working with City of Woodland staff, and then pair that to one final location where we'll have Kimley-Horn complete a 10% design and kind of a cost estimate for any additional features or amenities that would be needed before we can move locations. Next slide. And so, yeah, currently where we're at is we've been working with the city, and Kimley-Horn up to this date has identified three locations kind of within the greater downtown corridor within City of Woodland. We're expecting to get that memo from them probably at the beginning of August. And then once we receive that, we'll share that with City of Woodland staff. And once we agree on kind of a final location, we're looking to hopefully wrap up this project by the end of August at the latest. And with that, we'll kind of present some of the findings to the board at our September meeting to kind of get the official thumbs up to kind of move locations. So I believe that's the last slide. Yeah.
Questions for Courtney on that? Yeah, and as Courtney mentioned, we are working closely with this, with the City of Woodland and Brent in particular on this project. So he's very up to speed on all of this. But we wanted to make you all aware of it as well because, you know, a number of our services do, like our Route 42s, for example, they all start and end at our transit center in Woodland. So this is a location that literally impacts a large number of our riders. because it is the hub for the Route 42s. So it's not just an issue for kind of folks who ride the service in Woodlands, people who are riding between the airport and Davis, for example, or to downtown Sacramento if they're passing through Woodland. People are spending time here, getting off 142 and waiting for the next one to begin, for example, not to mention transferring, to local services if they're trying to access any of the, you know, important county services, you know, probation, the courthouse, health and human services, all of which are located, you know, in Woodland. For that sort of countywide population. So, we think this project has got kind of implications for the county as a whole, being that it is that hub that really gets people to and from, you know, those social services, the county services that a lot of our transit-dependent low-income folks rely on. All right. Well, that's all we have for you. I'm happy to give you all 20 minutes of your life back. thank you, everyone, for both sharing your updates and for the good questions and sticking around to hear from us. And definitely, as always, if you have any feedback on how to make this, you know, this group and this forum as productive as possible, we're always interested in your thoughts. And, I think our next meeting is scheduled for November. Or do we have another? No, I guess it would be September, wouldn't it? September? Heather, do you know?
It is September.
It is September, okay. Great. So we will see you all in September.
Sounds good, thanks.
Thank you.
Everyone.
Have a good one.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.